Y'all ever get hindered? Where's my amen section at? I need to know where my amen section is. I need to know. I had. Thank you very much. I had one a few weeks ago. And a little baby girl, she got to wailing away one time. I said, "There's my amen section. I've been looking for that." So you got to know where that is. It's a blessing to be with y'all today. And we're here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to glorify God. You know, I always like to look at some things that are given to us to learn by the Westminster Confession and the Westminster Catechism, larger catechism. When we always ask, it says, what are we here for? In other words, what's my purpose? But the question in the Westminster Larger Catechism says, what is man's chief purpose? Do you ever think about your chief purpose? You ever think about that? You have one. And the chief purpose of man, it answers just like this: to glorify God and enjoy Him fully forever. You know, there's one thing to enjoy something, and there's another thing to enjoy it fully. Did you know that? You know, we got those little Jesuses there not too long ago. Y'all remember those little things that got passed? I've got a few. My mom gives me some every now and then. The little Jesus, you know, that was something that was a witness tool, and it drew attention. That's good. You know, that's a good witness tool. I've got one sitting in my dash, just to remind me who's always watching, right? And but the thing is, and I thought about this, and there's scripture about this, that we need to know we need more of Him abundant. He said, I'm willing to give it to you if you want it. But do you want it? And do you want it abundantly? And I said, you know, that's what it is. I preached a sermon on that little statue. I had him sitting right there. I said, but you know, that's really what a lot of folks, that's all they want. That's all they want, a little of Jesus. They're satisfied with just a little Jesus. Folks, I'm not. I want all I can get. And matter of fact, I want all the crowns that I can get. Do you know why I want all the crowns I can get? It ain't for me. You know what we get to do with our crowns when we get them? Do y'all know? We get to cast them at Jesus' feet when we bow at that time. And ain't that going to be great? I can't wait. I don't know about y'all. I'm like John in Revelation, and he saw everything that was going to happen, right? He said, all this is going to happen. It's going to kill a bunch of people. It's going to draw a bunch of, but it's also going to draw a bunch of people in to heaven. And he said, but even so, I'm seeing all this. John said, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, hurry up and come. And you know, that's the way we look at it. But at the same time, we don't know how many are yet to be saved. And folks, that's what we're to be doing. We're not just be coming here on Sunday. This is our reprisal. This is where we come back for more ammunition, right? This is where we come. We were down in Florida. I'll tell you a real quick story. We were down in Florida a few years ago, and I saw this little dome-looking building. And I said, well, that's pretty cool there. Look, you know, colored and all like that. I knew it wasn't Baptist. And I told him, I said, we're going to drive in there just kind of look. You know, we looked in the windows, and I'm going to tell you, it was sad at the idols that were in there. But at the same time, when we drove out, I noticed they had stuff hanging on the wall, saints and things they called them. It was an Orthodox church, so in case you know what that is. But when we were driving out, I saw this sign that I've never seen at any other church, Baptist or otherwise. And it said, you are now entering the mission field. Folks, what does that mean? This is not the mission field right here. The mission field is when we leave. The mission field is every day, Monday through Sunday. Not just Monday through Saturday. Sunday, today, we get opportunity. Opportunity all the time to praise God and to tell somebody what? About Jesus. You know one thing you can't do in heaven, right? One thing you can't do in heaven is what? Tell somebody about Jesus. They already know about Jesus because He's there. The sun in heaven is Jesus, right? There ain't no light other than Him. What a blessing. But just real quick, this is not about me. I'll just tell you about who I am. I'm Randy Nelson. I've been a pastor for a number of years at a church that I'm still looking. I've not been a pastor for 3 years now, but I'm looking for a church wherever God would lead me. And so y'all pray for me about that. I'm just 66 years old, and you know there's no retirement in the Bible. Did you know that? There's no retirement in the Bible. There's death. So I'm waiting on death because it's appointed, but I'm going to be like Enoch. You know, I want to be like Enoch. After he turned 65, he walked with God 300 years. I'm only 66, and I haven't walked with God 66 years, to my shame. But you know what I said when I was approaching my 65th birthday? I said, and I remembered Enoch, and I looked at him, and I said, Lord, I want to walk with you. Really walk. You know what I mean? Lord, let me walk with you, really. And then don't let me die, just take me. You know? No, don't let me just die, just take me. You know, I want to be like Enoch. Why not? Let's ask God. Let's make sure we're asking in His will, and then we'll get it. But anyway, back to what I was saying. I recently retired. I've been blessed to have a part-time job at our Baptist training camp in DeSoto County, Mississippi. Been there just since March, and so I'm working there part-time. My wife and I, Lord, by the Lord's grace and mercy, were 39 years on the 12th, 2 days ago. 39 years we've been together by His grace and mercy. I got a good wife because she's put up with me for 39 years. You hear what I'm saying? So, but God has been gracious. God has been merciful. And in any case, so I'm waiting. I've been able to build my own house, and we've been in it for 25 years. And you know, now I'm just waiting to see what God will do in the rest of my 300 years, if He'll give them to me, right? But we're to be seeking God. We're to be actively glorifying God. Our only purpose is not us, and a lot of people think it is. We think we're number one, but we're not. And that's what my sermon is about today. It was not asked for. In other words, Pastor Justin, when he called me, he said, "Hey, man, have you got anything like this?" He didn't say that. I already had it on my heart, right? God knows. And I hope this is for somebody here. It's for me. Anytime I preach, not only is it for you, it's for me. But the one I'm preaching to, I'm not here to impress y'all, by the way. I'm here to glorify Him and honor Him with this word. And I hope that you'll be inspired. More than that, I hope you'll be convicted of what I'm going to say. So, how can we and how do we glorify God? Well, we obey His commands. We love Him above all things. And we love others as ourselves. We accomplish these things as we seek God's face daily. So here's the question. Now you have a question. I want you to keep this question in your mind as we go through this sermon this morning. Can I, and here's the answer, I'm going to give you the answer to the question. This is easy, isn't it? I'm going to give you the answer to the question. Yes. That's the answer. Here's the question. Can I, that's you, improve on my efforts to seek God? Can I? Yes. You know, I always remember Adrian Rogers. Y'all ever heard of Adrian Rogers? He said he was asked a question by somebody of what would be one thing of his spiritual life. Adrian Rogers. I don't know. I know y'all know who Adrian Rogers is, right? One thing he was asked. What one thing, Adrian, would you like to have improved on in your spiritual life? And he said, my prayer life. I said, whoa, if Adrian Rogers needs to improve on his prayer life, I know I do need to improve on my prayer life. But not only that, I need to improve on all aspects, right? We can always improve. And that's why we look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Always remember this, and I'm going to read this out of the, I wrote this down from the Amplified Version because it gives more to it. It's not giving more of Scripture, but it's giving more enlightenment. So here's what it says. So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, here it is, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. Follow, folks, Paul said, here's what you need to do with your salvation. You need to work it out with fear and trembling so that you don't bring shame onto Jesus Christ. Folks, you know there's a lot of shame being brought onto Jesus Christ's name here lately out of the church. We've got a lot of people that are falling in their race when they shouldn't be. They should be making sure that they're not discrediting Jesus Christ. Our scripture today, I want you to keep this in mind. This is just one particular. I want you to keep this in your mind as what the focus scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And it is Paul addressing that church that he had been to two times, and he's coming back a third time, and they've not been acting right. And Paul says, well, you know what? This time I'm going to do, I'm going to bring some accusation to you. I'm going to bring some conviction to you. And because they had not been living the life of a church like they're supposed to. So I'm going to start in, actually, I'm going to start in chapter 12, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. We're going to go all the way down to verse 5 of 13. So here we go. For I am afraid, Paul says, that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. This is the church, folks. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. Verse 1 of chapter 13, this will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. They weren't listening. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you. And here's the kicker. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? That's our prayer this morning. Father God, we praise your name, Lord. We just thank you for your word of truth that comes to us through your apostle Paul. Father, we just pray that we would put everything else out of our minds to this morning, that we would listen to the word, Father, that the word would convict us to do what you would have us to do, to glorify you and to tell others about Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the problem we have today, as always, the problem we have had in the world forever, is that there's no fear of God. Folks, we need to examine ourselves in this day and time because we're not fearing God like we ought to. As Christians, we need to remember who God is. And we've forgotten it, in my estimation. Too many times I get off on doing other things that really don't matter when I need to be focused on God. and glorifying His name. We don't examine ourselves because there's no fear of God. Listen, I'm going to read these examples off to you. You don't have to write these down or anything. Psalm chapter 34, 9. Fear the Lord, you His saints. That's us. For those who fear Him lack nothing. Psalm 112, 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon wrote, after he had done everything through the book of Ecclesiastes, after he had said, I didn't spare my eyes anything, I didn't spare my body anything, I did what I wanted to do, he said, but here's the conclusion of the matter, is what Solomon said. Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Folks, that's our duty. That's it. Obey God. Fear God. It's His due. It's due Him. But we don't do it out of a fear that doesn't know God as Father, right? There's a difference in knowing God as Father or God as Judge. You know? There's a difference. We need to make sure we know the difference. Because we're going to be examined one day. You know, we've been examined. Mankind's been examined forever since the beginning of time. We only have to begin in the garden. In Genesis, if you'd like to turn there, that's where we're going to start. We're going to go through here. We're going to see how good God is that He's allowed us to be examined, but that we are allowed to examine ourselves. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining knowledge, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound. Picture this now. They heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Where are you? The first examination of mankind. Mankind had already sinned in rebellion. And He laid the path for all of us, right? And here we have God coming into the garden as He always did. God always came in fellowship with the man and the woman. That's what we get from that. In the cool of the evening. And He was wanting to fellowship and He said, "Where are you?" And it wasn't that God wanted to know where their pinpoint was, where they were at in the garden. God already knew that. He knew exactly where they were hiding, right? That's where they were, hiding. But He also knew why they were hiding. And that's the reason you and I will hide from God. When we examine ourselves and we don't repent. Folks, you know, we have opportunity to get right with God all the time. Because we sin all the time. I don't know if you know that. We sin all the time, but we don't repent all the time. That's our problem. I heard David Ring say, we sin wholesale, but we repent retail. You get that? We sin wholesale. We do all the sinning we want. But then we forget. And we only want to mention the ones that we want to bring up. God already knows the sins we've committed. He wants us to remember them so that we can see how gracious He is, that He's willing to still forgive us of our sins. Are we being only retail retail repenters? I think we are. We need to repent of everything and name our sins. You know, you've heard the song, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. We do that. We can count our many blessings, and we can name them all one by one. We can if we sit down and think about it. But we don't want to name our sins one by one. We don't want to do that. But it's called for us to do it. God is gracious, and He will forgive us. Where are you? God said, well, Lord, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Folks, we have to realize we can't cover our own sins. Our good works are like dirty rags. There's nothing good there's about us that we do other than if we repent and call on Jesus Christ and lift up the name of Jesus and say, He's my sin coverer. His blood is the one that is still able to cover my sins. God knew where they were, separated, rebellious, and sinful, and also in need of a Savior. In need of a Savior. Folks, you know, that's the main thing. That we still, it was the main thing then, it's the main thing now. People still need a Savior and they don't know it. But what are we doing as Christians? Have we examined ourselves and said, am I able to go and tell somebody? And we say, well, you can be, but you have to remember what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to repent, and you're also supposed to be studied up, worked into the fear and the trembling and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And this shows us exactly how we're to be prepared. And whenever we tell somebody about Jesus Christ and about God, folks, we don't realize who God is. I'm telling you. Because we see here in Isaiah chapter 6, the commission that Isaiah was given, and we're going to walk this through, and we're going to see how Isaiah became commissioned in the 6th chapter. It took him that long to get there. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Can y'all picture that? Can you just picture that? What if we were in here and God was here, and He was sitting here on a throne, and His train filled this place. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that in your mind's eye? Above Him were two seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. They covered their faces because He was so holy and it couldn't be looked on. With two they covered their feet because the feet were ugly, and God is holy. And their feet needed to be covered. And with two they were flying, and they were calling one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, y'all watch this. This is showing us that some people say there's no such thing as the Trinity. Y'all ever heard that lie? This shows us exactly that there is a Trinity. This is just one place. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? That's God. And who will go for us? That's Jesus and the Holy Spirit, by the way. And I said, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Folks, I want you to notice what happened there. Here was poor Isaiah being commissioned by God. And he didn't know what he was going to be able to do for God until that angel, that seraph, came and touched him, his lips, with that coal, and then his sins were atoned for. Then he was able to go and tell somebody about Jesus. Before we can go and tell anybody about Jesus, we have to confess our sins and not hold on to them. We have to come before God in submission, folks. It's submission. And then we have to give thanks for a forgiving God. Submission allows us to enter heaven through the narrow gate. Submission allows us to leave our self-righteous baggage on a wide road. Y'all know the scripture when it talks about the narrow road. The narrow gate and the narrow road and the wide gate and the broad road, right? Lots of people go down the broad road because it's easy. Not a whole lot of people want to go through the narrow gate because it's hard. They want to bring their stuff with them. Do you know that? People want to bring extra stuff. Oh, Lord, can I bring this with me? No, you can't. There's only one way to get here. One way to get here. That's through Jesus Christ alone. That's how you get through the gate. Where are you right now? Are you near God or are you hiding? Are you humble or are you proud? Do you desire to please God? Are you ready for examination? Look at Psalm chapter 139. Folks, you got to learn love Scripture. I heard a pastor told me one time. He says one of my members told me that I was using too much Scripture. I said how can that be? How can that be? Folks, we have Scripture. It's God's Word. It's God's spoken Word, and we need to make sure we know what it says. Chapter 139 of Psalm 23 and 24. I know you've heard these words before. But it allows us to examine ourselves. Here it is. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. Now I'm going to read that again and I want you to pay attention. We're going to add a capital Y-O-U before each one of those exclamations. God being that word you, okay? Here we go. You search me, O God, and you know my heart. You test me, and you know my anxious thoughts. You see if there is any offensive way in me, and you lead me in the way everlasting. Isn't it nice to know that God is willing to examine us and to spur us on and to say, I'm searching you. But I want you to go this direction. I want you to be ready to get there. And the only way you can get there is by seeking my face and praising my name. You search me, God. You are the one that knows my heart. You know there's offensive ways in me. Folks, are we examining ourselves to see the offensive ways in ourselves? We can. And we need to. We need to be useful. We're being sanctified. You know, that's where you are right now, I hope. You're being sanctified. The Bible tells us we're not perfect yet, but we're being sanctified. We're being set apart for use. Like the Bible talks about that good jar, right? It's a good jar if it's able to hold the Word. If it's able to hold it and carry it around, but it's no good if it's cracked and it's leaking, and when you get it ready to use it, there's nothing there, right? Nothing there for you to use. But in the meantime, we know if we seek His face, if we desire to do His will, He's faithful and He's just to make us ready. Folks, we need to remember that these ideas and these convictions come to us for one reason. It's to make us whole and to make us holy. Do you feel holy? I want you to know, we're to be holy. Do you know why? Scripture commands us. I know there's 10 commandments, but you know there's other commandments. God says, be holy. That's a command. Well, how are you going to be holy? He says, because I'm holy. And if you do like Isaiah and you say, woe is me. If you repent and say, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And then you allow God to do His work. You'll be used if you're ready. One thing that I was convicted of years ago was I realized that I had not really told anybody about Jesus Christ. I was not in the habit. I thought it was the pastor's place. I thought it was the church's place to do that. Then I met Ray Comfort. Y'all ever heard of Ray Comfort? Living Waters and Way of the Master is his ministry out of California. And he had Kirk Cameron was with him for a while. Kirk Cameron was an actor who got saved. And he's become a follower of Jesus Christ and an evangelist. But Ray Comfort convicted me. And ever since then, anywhere I go, I make sure I have a gospel tract with me. You know what a gospel tract is? It's the easiest way to witness there is. You don't have to really say anything other than, did you get one of these? Right? And here's one of the things I carry with me all the time. It's a Ten Commandments coin. Ten Commandments on one side and the plan of salvation on the other. And I tell people when I give it to them, I'll say, hey, did you get one of these? Well, no, of course they hadn't. They hadn't met me yet. And I'll say, they'll say, what is it? I'll say, it's a Ten Commandments coin. Ten Commandments on one side tell me how sinful I am in the sight of a holy God. And on the other side, the plan of salvation that tells me how gracious that God is that He sent Jesus Christ to save me from my sins if I will submit to His Lordship. Folks, you know that's what it takes. Submission to His Lordship. But folks, that's what we're called to do, is to tell people about Jesus. We have opportunity all the time. We just miss it. We don't take advantage of it. I encourage you to get you some gospel tracts, not books. I'm not talking about passing out books. Have a place for those. But I like the quick thing because you can get in the conversation quickly. We don't have a lot of time left. You know, people die every day. 150,000 people die every day. Good people. Good people die every day and go to hell. That's the truth. People don't want to talk about hell, though. But we need to talk about hell. Then we can talk about heaven. What did Jesus talk the most about? Hell. Why? Because He knew there was wrath to come. And that's why Jesus came. He didn't come just because He loved us. You know, that's what a lot of people say. Want to say that's one of they want to be their testimony. They want to be that Jesus loves you. And the person must say, well, I love me too. So, what good does that do? He said, well, there's wrath to come though. And that's why Jesus came. Because there's wrath to come and He knows what that wrath is. We read it all through Revelation. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. No hope. No hope left. But how can we help these people, folks? How are we to be helping these people? We need to be ready. We need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith. We need to make sure that when we confess our sins, before we can help our brother out with his speck of dust. Y'all remember that one? We need to make sure we get our log out of our eye, right? Get our log out of our eye. Then we can help our brother with his speck in his eye. And that's what we're to do, even in the church. Did you know that? People don't want to talk about church discipline at all. They don't want to talk about that. But you know where two or more is gathered in my name, you know what that verse is actually about? It's not about this. It's not about fellowship. It's about church discipline. It talks about two people going to a person after the one went and he couldn't get anything out of that person he's trying to help. And then he says, take two with you. And then if you've taken two with you, two or three with you, and they still don't want to listen, you kick them out of the church. That's Scripture. That's church discipline. But we get it confused. Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am also. Well, guess what? If the Holy Spirit's in you, guess what? Where there's one gathered, where I'm gathered in His name, there He is also, right? So when we're out and about, folks, let me convict you. Opportunity knocks all the time. Are you ready to tell somebody about Jesus? Ask them, do you know about Jesus? And most people in the South, you know what they say? Oh, yeah, I know about Jesus. And I say, well, that's good. And I'll say, well, that's good. But then I'll bring up chapter 7 of Matthew and verse 21. I'll bring this up and I'll say, you know what the scariest verse in the Bible is? Here it is. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, depart from me, I don't know you, you worker of iniquity. That's the scariest verse in the Bible, folks. Because there's false converts in that verse, in that section. There's false converts of people who thought they were doing the right thing. Who thought they were Christians, but they didn't realize they had all these other things to examine themselves. To make sure they're in the faith, right? No matter how old or how young you are, anybody is available to be saved. My mother told me we're going next Saturday, Lord willing. Next Saturday we're going to Knoxville, Tennessee, where I was born and raised. And we're going to celebrate her 90th birthday. And so she's still active and able to get around at 90 years old. God has blessed her with many good years. And so, but she told me several years back that one of the deacons I grew up with, I was a little obedient, and I remember this guy. He was a deacon when I was a kid. And she told me that Brother Evans got saved. And I said, what? She said, yeah. She said he realized that he wasn't saved. So he got saved. I said, well, hallelujah. Ain't that's that verse right there. You know, didn't matter what all good works he did. Didn't matter. Because he wasn't doing them under submission and to God's will. And for Jesus Christ as his Lord. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. But they didn't know him. Folks, make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's what I came here to say today. I hope that if you need to say, Lord, Lord, I need you, that you'll come down today and say, all right, I was baptized years ago, but I need to get baptized for real this time, right? That would be obedience. Submission is one thing. Being obedient is the other, right? All right. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to consider your word, Father, to consider your truth, Father, for our edification, but for your glorification. And Father, just right now, we just thank you for this opportunity to praise you, to glorify you, to ask you to help us to examine ourselves, to know that we're in the faith and that we're ready to do your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we got a song to sing or play or... Okay.